series called Armored. Everyone say Armored. You guys been getting something out of this series? I have. I really feel like God's been using it in my own life. Just this idea of, you know, we're in this spiritual battle. And it sounds like a real complicated thing. Like, I know if you're not really used to, like, maybe church vernacular, spiritual warfare, it sounds intense, right? It's like, it sounds complicated. Like, I don't know if I'm ready for all that. And so what we've been looking at this letter written by a guy named Paul, who was one of the first church planters. He was a murderer of Christians at one point. He followed the law. He was zealous for the law. He was a Jew, a Pharisee, of Pharisees, the Bible says. And then one day he had an encounter with the risen Savior on a road to Damascus as he was traveling to go really to imprison and kill Christians. And ever since he met Jesus on this road to Damascus, his life was radically changed. Like, it was like one minute he was blind, the next minute he could see. And he wrote letters all over. He wrote planted churches, and he was writing these letters. And the specific church in Ephesus he was writing to, he was trying to give them an illustration of something that was very complicated, and he wanted to break it down in a very simple, easy-to-understand kind of way. So what he did, real simple. He was under house arrest. Paul was being arrested for what he had, for proclaiming and proselytizing the good news of the gospel. And he was under arrest, and he was under Roman authority. He was in a Roman house under arrest. And he looks over at this guard one day, and I can just imagine he's sitting there, and he's trying to encourage the church. He's like, hey, I want to write this letter to the church of Ephesus. What would they understand? And what he knew is the church in Ephesus was a place where Ephesus was under Roman-occupied territory, so they would have known what a Roman soldier looked like. And so he looks over at the soldier, and he begins to put pen to paper, and he writes out to the church at Ephesus. He takes a very complicated idea, and he makes it very simple by giving them an illustration. And he writes out to them, here's what spiritual battle looks like. You have to put on the full armor of God if you're going to be ready to fight the good fight. And so we talked about week one. We talked about the belt of truth, right? Remember, we talked about how the Roman soldier, everything would go on to the belt. It was all, everything that hung on to this armor was connected to the belt of truth. And just like that, if we don't take the truth of Scripture and align it to our way of looking at the world, then if we forget to do that, then truth will be subjective to what I feel like today or tomorrow, and it won't be rooted in Scripture. And so just so you know, at Active Church, we believe like from like Genesis to the maps, like in the back, like it's all God's Word. People are like, so what do you really believe about the Word? I'm like, it's infallible. It's inerrant. It's God's Word. It's changing me. I don't change my life, or I don't change the Bible to fit my life. I change my life to fit into Scripture. And guess what? I don't always do 100% at that. I don't always get it right. But I'm trying, and I'm better than I was last year. Amen? And I'll be better next year. That's my goal. That's my goal. So Paul's writing this letter, and he kind of gives us this idea of what it looks like to be in spiritual battle. So I want to look at a verse with you this morning. This is out of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, out of the NLT. Paul says this, put on, this is our last week's, our last week kind of, we looked at this, put on salvation as your helmet. Remember we talked about having fully comprehensive, full coverage salvation, that we, like, just like the helmet, the Roman helmet would have covered, it would have covered the brow and gone down to the nose and then gone back to the back of the neck to give full comprehensive coverage against any sort of long swords. The same way we have to get our mind right. We can't just be like, oh yeah, I got my ticket, I got Jesus, put in my pocket. That every single day you and I have a battle to face, and the battle is in between our ears in our mind. We talked about what that looks like as it relates to putting on salvation. That, like, this whole, like, the whole armor of God. Listen, church, if you don't get anything else from today, hear this. It doesn't work unless you put it on. Like, you can have notes. I've remember seeing, like, some people, like, will take pictures on Instagram. They, like, write these really cool artistic notes, and they're like, all these awesome things, the armor of God, and they'll have these really cool Pinteresty notes. But listen, I don't care how cute or awesome or thorough your notes are. If we don't do this stuff, it doesn't work. And you and I both know it, because I could be inspired on Sunday and I could go be ready to charge hell with the water pistol. But on Tuesday, come on somebody, on Tuesday, if I'm in a bit of a funk and I'm not really feeling it, I can wake up and be like, I don't want to do a Bible study. I don't even want to read my Bible. I just want to sleep in. You know what? I'm just going to go to Starbucks. I don't even want to get in a quiet time. I'm just kind of in my own mode. And if I'm honest, we have to put this on every day, or else our Christianity will look very, very weird. We'll look one way on Sunday and we'll look another way on Tuesday. And my prayer right now, guys, is that God would begin to remind us how not what we need to do for him. Guys, listen, he's already done everything for us. That he would remind you today how good he is. And that out of that being reminded of, man, God, you've done so much for me, that our lives would naturally fall into place and say, God, because you've been so good to me, I just want to serve you. I want my life to bring honor to your name. Let's pray real quick and we'll jump in this time. Father God, speak through me, please. Lord, send your spirit and just, Lord, encourage us. Draw us closer to you. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. How many of you guys like to fly on airplanes? Raise your hand. How many of you guys like turbulence? Raise your hand. Some people are like, okay, you like turbulence. Okay. I was flying recently, and it's funny. You go through TSA, and you get to the place. You finally get to your seat. How many of you guys ever just put your headphones on because you just don't want to talk to anybody? Any real talk? Okay, that's just me. Okay, judge me. All right. I'll just put it on. I'm acting like I'm listening to something. Because sometimes you just want peace and quiet. You want to find your seat. And they had the gal up there, and they still do this. I don't know why. But they explain to you how to put a seatbelt on. Take this end of the belt and put it into this end. If you want to release it, simply lift up on the latch and pull. It's like, I thought I was going to try to bite my way out of this lady. I just like, you know, how do you get that? I'm going to rip it off. But it's funny because they explain to you how to put it on. And if you're in, you know, recently I was in the restroom, which is like the most awkward part of the whole plane, because you're in the bathroom and there's someone like literally like 7 inches away from the door. And you're just like, okay, got to go use the restroom. And you get out. But I was in the restroom and all of a sudden I heard the turbulence light come on. I was like, bing, please return to your seat. Bing. I'm like, how bad would it be if you're the guy in the plane crash that died inside of the bathroom toilet, right? You don't want to be that guy. So immediately I finish my business and I'm making my way to my seat, and the plane is like jumping pretty high. It's a small plane. We're coming back from Denver, so we're hitting some weather, and I'm like, oh crud, this is scary a little bit. So I get into my seat and I put my seatbelt on. Why? Because the seatbelt doesn't work unless I put it on. When it starts hitting turbulence, and let me tell you something, church, when you are hitting turbulence in your life, and you try to put it on as the turbulence is happening, guess what? It doesn't really work the same. You got to put it on before it gets really bumpy, before it gets super crazy. You ought to have the belt of truth strapped on in your life so that truth can just be not just this thing that I need to figure out while I'm, what was that thing that Pastor Adam said? And what was that sermon? No, that we need to be ready when the turbulence comes, because here's the reality. You have a battle ahead of you. And whether you like it or not, the test is coming. The final, the long nights of studying, the test is coming. And here's the question, are you ready? Because unless you put it on, unless you put the belt of truth on, unless you strap in, none of this really works. So what are we talking about today? We're talking about the Word of God. Everyone say the Word of God, the Bible. I'm going to teach you some Greek, okay? So the first word we're going to look at is graphe. Everyone say graphe. Graphe, teaching you new languages. This is good. This is literally the words on a page. This is the paper or the text of Scripture. This is basically what this looks like. It's a leather-bound book. This is a book. This is a type of word to say, okay, this is the Scripture. It's the physical aspect of Scripture. The second word I want to teach you is logos. Everyone say logos. It's logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the visible image of an invisible God. The Word of God in John, the Gospel of John, says that Jesus was the Logos. He was the image. It's where we get our word logo from. You want to look at a Nike swoosh? There's a logo. That represents something. This is the literal message of the graphe. This is the logos. The God would breathe into this world the content or the written word. The next word I want to teach you, this is a big one, the rhema. The rhema. Everyone say rhema. This is a personal word. This is not a subjective truth in the sense of, okay, God gave me some new utterance and now we're supposed to go and move to Utah and, you know, live on a ranch and, you know, no, none of that. That's weird. I'm saying the rhema means when God's word, have you ever just felt like God's word just highlighted and jumped out and hit you in the face? You're like, wait a minute, I know I've read this before, but this is speaking to me in a whole new way. It's like if you're ever going through a situation, you're like, God, I need to hear from you. God, I need to know your word. And all of a sudden you read through and you're reading through the Gospels and all of a sudden it just smacks you in the face. That is a word, a rhema from God. This is why you need to be in the word of God, because some of you here today, you need a word from God, don't you? You have a decision to make. Should we buy or sell? Should I go into business with that guy or should I not? Should I continue to date this dude or kick him to the curb? Should I go left or should I go right? Here's what you ought to do. Instead of asking all your best friends and asking Facebook, which I think is silly sometimes. Everyone, you ever see those Facebook comments like, I am so mad, ... What's going on? Just message me. It's gossip. That's gossip, sir. Maybe, just maybe, today you need, instead of asking, because it's good to have counsel for many people, but what if today the way that God wanted to prepare you for this next season was to have you go and take out the word of the spirit of the word, that God wants to give you something directly from the word of God, not through a Bible study or a sermon or a podcast, that God wants to speak to you directly from his word today. What if this next season was, I want a rhema, God, so that I can understand what you're doing in my life. Now let's check out what his word says in Ephesians 6, 13 and 14. Let's go back to this main section of scripture. Therefore, everyone say therefore. When you see therefore in the Bible, you got to ask the word, the ask question, what is it there for? Okay, context, content and context. So he says, therefore, he's talking about this spiritual battle, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. So there's this armor that's meant to be defensive. And then he says, then after the battle, you'll be standing firm. Then he says, stand your ground. So he says, stand firm, then stand your ground by putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. What is he saying? He's saying this. You know, it's not a passive act. So standing firm is not just like you're just like, all right, now what? He's saying, no, no, no. So when the battle comes, stand firm. And then he says, stand your ground. If you were a Roman soldier, you would have had a cleat, a sandal with a spike in it. It's almost like a modern day cleat. And what you would do is you would get ready by getting your feet stuck into the ground. How many of you guys have ever worn baseball cleats, metal cleats, or football cleats, some sort of cleat? You can get a good grip, right? So what he's saying is, as a soldier, you need to stand your ground. And as a Christian, when the battle comes, you're not just kind of standing there waiting to kind of like take it on the cheek. You're actually standing in a way that's saying, okay, we've taken some ground. How many of you guys know at Active Church, we've taken some ground for the kingdom of God? Amen? If you love anything about Active Church, then you need to pray for your church, because guess what? There's an enemy that hates what we're doing here in downtown SLO. He hates what we're doing because people's lives are being changed. There's people being set free from addictions and marriages are being healed and young men and young women are catching fire for what God wants to do. And the enemy says, I don't like that. So here's what we do. We stand firm. We dig in. It's almost like a tug. Remember tug of war? How many of you guys remember playing tug of war? Like all four of you guys? Okay, cool. Tug of war. Never heard of it. It's a game with a rope. And so you... Usually there's like a mud pit in the middle or something, and it's like a camp or like your dad's barbecue for his picnic for his company or whatever. That was, my dad worked for Texaco in Bakersfield, California. And there's always the big guys, the juiced out guys, the guys that were just like huge, and they'd be in the back, right? And then you have everybody else and all the normal sized guy kind of pulling on this. And here's what you would do. You would say, pull, and the guy in the back would pull and pull and pull, and you'd make some ground. And the other team, what would they do? They'd plant themselves. You can't pull the whole time. Why? Because if you were to pull the whole time, you'll gas out and you'll be completely useless and you'll lose the tug of war. So what am I saying? There are times where the guy in the back is going to say, hold your position, hold, hold. And you just got, as a Christian, you've got to hold it. You're not working off your own power. You're just saying, you know what? I'm going to wake up every day, and this is a day for me to stand. I may not take all the ground I want to, but today I'm going to stand. I'm not going to be pushing and pulling and trying to get this thing going. Today, I just need to stand my ground. And when the captain in the back says, okay, now pull, we're going to pull together as a church. We're going to pull together as a community. We're going to pull together as a small group. And when you do that, here's what happens. You begin to take ground. But if you try to pull the whole time and you don't listen to the captain, then you're in charge and eventually you will gas out. Here's the good news and the bad news. We're not the captain in the back. That's the good news. Here's the bad news. Some of you have been trying to be the captain. God's saying, stand your ground, and you're trying to pull. And he's saying, pull, and you're trying to stand your ground. You're not listening to the captain because we're not in the logos and hearing the rhema. So what happens is when God's saying, pull, you're just kind of sitting there. You're going, wait a minute, what are we doing? And then when he says, okay, hold your ground, you're like, oh, do we pull now? And what happens is your walk with God gets very confusing when you're trying to be the captain of the ship. You're going to be the captain of the team, and he's saying, pull, and you're saying, no. That's why we say, Jesus, we make you Lord of our life. What does that mean? You're the captain. I listen to you. I don't call the shots anymore. I tried that, and it didn't work out very good. How many of you know, when you're calling the shots, it doesn't always work out. Sometimes it does, and God gives you grace, but sometimes you call the shots, and you end up exactly where you never wanted to be. So what do? It's a game of tug of war. I want to point to Old Testament scripture that kind of leads us to this idea that's going to kind of take this thing home. We're going to land the plane today. Remember Moses had a promise that he was going to deliver God's people out of Egypt into the promised land. But here's what happened. Moses and he led the people out of Israel, out of Egyptian captivity. He took, millions of Jewish people across the Red Sea. They were fighting and doing some weird stuff. So what'd they do? They wandered in the desert for 40 years. How would you like to do that for 40 years, just wandering around? That would not be fun. They wandered around, and finally, when it came to enter into the land that they had been promised from God, Moses couldn't enter. He had done too much wrong. So here's what happens: Joshua's about to be kind of crowned this new leader of the Israelites, and here's what happens in Joshua. I'm going to point to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, out of the NASB. Here's what happens. It says, now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Can I tell some of you here today, God doesn't have grandkids. He's got children. What do I mean? Just because your grandma and grandpa were faithful, and just because your parents served in the church, if you don't own your faith, you won't have faith. You'll have your grandparents' faith. He wants you to be his son or his daughter. Some of you today need to make a decision to say, you know what? I'm owning my faith today. Like, I'm going to place my faith in Christ today. He goes on, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel. And then he says this in verse 3. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. He's saying, I got a promise that I'm fulfilling. This is why you need to read the word. this book is full of promises for your life. Like, legit promises that you can claim as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, this book is full of them. And he's talking to Joshua and he says this. He goes, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you, he tells Joshua. I will not fail you or forsake you. That'll preach right there. I don't serve a God that's fickle. I'm fickle. There's days where I'm like, I'm going to go work out 4 days this week, 5 days this week. And I'm lucky to get to the gym once. Guess what? God loves you in spite of you. God loves you no matter what. Like, it's not just one of his qualities. He is love. He is for you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. I don't know about you, but that excites me because I have a lot of reasons why God could forsake me. But God says, I don't look at all those. I look at my son Jesus when I look at you, Adam, because he died for you and he cares about you. So when I look at you and I look that you have the son, then you're free, and you're free indeed because of Jesus, Adam. That's what he looks at when he looks at me. And if you have Jesus, he says the same thing about you. And he goes on. He says this in verse 6. I love this. Be strong. Everyone say strong. And courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful, watch this, to do according to all the law. All the law. Which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We can just go home now. Amen. But we got a couple things. I want you to write down this first one. I got a couple points, then we'll get out of here. You guys still with me? I don't believe you. Are you still with me? All right. Number one, write this down if you're taking notes. The Word of God prepares. The Word of God prepares. Moses didn't have all of his stuff together, but God still chose to use him. And now this young leader, Joshua, is being commissioned into the lead role. How many of you guys know when you get the promotion and you get the corner office, it comes with a greater price tag or a greater amount of responsibility than you ever thought, right? You get the notoriety, but then you get everything that comes with it. And so now here we got Joshua, and he's ready to take the lead, but he needs something. He needs the Word of God to be in his heart. Some of us here today, God's saying, I want to prepare you, but you're not listening to me by going to the Word. I can't prepare you if you don't know what I'm telling you to do. And guess what? Yes, God speaks in visions and dreams and all that stuff, but you know how God primarily speaks to us? Through His Word. Through His Word. I love the whole thing of like prophetic, all these cool things happening. And there's all these cool conferences, but you want to know something for real? It's like, I don't give too much of that stuff. Like, I love all that stuff, but we want to know something? I think people, especially the Christian church, I think we are far too full of knowledge, and we lack the true obedience that God wants us to do in the little things. I think we want to see the signs and wonders, but God's saying, well, just love your enemy today. How about just pick up your cross and walk after me? Like, he wants to prepare us for great things, and we think we have to have a new word of knowledge or a new rhema even. And God's saying, but what about the thing I asked you to do like 4 months ago you still haven't done? Remember that like YouVersion Bible app, like that little like daily, you know, app that you had in your phone, and it kept popping up and you stopped reading it? Like, why don't you just go back to do that? Because God wants to do this. He wants to prepare us. But unless we're willing to do the work of getting into the Word, then He'll never be able to fully give us the knowledge He wants from the Word that's going to be applied to the situation in your life. Joshua needed to be prepared. Let me ask you this. If you had to give yourself a score, 1 to 10, of like, this is for the Christians. If you're not a Christian in here, you don't even have a Bible, I'll give you a Bible. You can start reading it. Even if you don't believe it, I dare you just to start reading it. But how's your quiet time in this thing, man? How are you doing, like, reading the Word? I'm going to encourage you today. Some of you today are going to go home, and you're going to pick up your Bible again. You know, the Word, the sword of the Spirit, he's talking about this dagger. It's 18 inches to 24 inches. And a Roman soldier would have been lethal with this thing. He'd been like, I'm surgical with this, okay? He would have pulled it out. And if you would have been hand-to-hand combat with a Roman soldier back in this day and age, the historian said they were so feared that when it came close to hand-to-hand combat, that when the enemy saw the Romans pulling out their 18 to 24-inch dagger out of their sheath in their belt of truth, right, that enemies would run for the hills. Why? Because a soldier would be so lethal with this thing. It'd be so sharp that one touch of it would cut you deeply. Let me ask you this. When you pull out your dagger, your sword, when you pull out the Word of God, does the enemy look at you and run, or does he laugh? Does he go, oh man, they got the Word of God out, so I'm going to run? Or does he go, they don't even know what they're doing with that? Watch this. And he comes after us. Listen, there's a reason why we value the Word of God. It's not just like, hey, read your Bible, don't do bad stuff, and be a good Christian. Hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord. That's not why we're here. There's a battle. Your wife needs you to be in this Word, sir. Your kids need you to know the Word so you can pray truth over them every morning when they go off to school. And you can write a little verse in their lunch and say, Mommy loves you so much, and I'm praying for you today. We need to be a church that stands on the Word of God. Because the Word of God, here's what it does. It doesn't just prepare. Number two, if you're taking notes, the Word of God produces. When you plant this in your soul and you plant this in your heart, guess what? It never returns void. The Bible will never come back void. What do I mean? It always produces fruit. When you plant this and you memorize the Word and you get it into your heart, you don't need to be a theologian. Heck, I didn't know what a heck of an Ephesians was when I first got saved. I'm like, what's a Corinthian? What's an Ephesian? But guess what? I started where I just started picking up the Bible. And I'm still not where I want to be. But guess what? I know a lot more than when I first picked up the Bible. And guess what? It never stops producing fruit in my life. Even if I haven't picked it up in a few days, I'm like, man, God, what have I been doing? Listen, God wants to produce something in you. God wants you to plant yourself in His Word. He wants you to get so close to Him in the Word that you're like, the word says to know Him, it's a Greek word, it means gnosko, means to have an intimate knowledge of Jesus. You can't know God unless you know His Word. You can't gnosko God unless you gnosko, take in and receive His Word. And guess what? You need to be planted. And not just planted in the Word. You need to be planted in the house of God. The Bible says that if you plant yourself in the house of God, you'll flourish. It doesn't have to be this church, y'all, but we need to be planted. Like, you need to find a church where you can plant your roots. You need to raise your kids in the house of the Lord. Amen? Like, we need to be people that plant ourselves. And when, guess what? When the storms come, I never see healthy trees uproot and run for cover. That'd be funny. Gotta get out of here. You know what? You know what healthy trees do when the storm comes? They stay right where they're planted. And the rain will come and the wind will come. But guess what? The storm fades and the sun comes back out. And guess what? Those plants, those trees are firmly rooted, planted by still waters. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you said, you know what, honey, or talk to your spouse or whoever, you know, we need to plant ourselves somewhere. I hope it's active church, but guess what? You need to plant yourself, number one, in the Word of God, but then you need to plant yourself around people. They're going to build you up. They're going to encourage you and say, how you doing, bro? I love hanging out with Richard Tuesday mornings, man, and we get to talk about real stuff. We get to text each other. How you doing, man? We're planted in community because when you plant yourself in community, healthy things begin to happen. And the nutrients from other people, you start cross-pollinating. Can I get an amen? You need some cross-pollination up in your life. Here's why. Because the strength of Tom and the strength of Aaron, and the strength of Joshua, all these different guys in my life, I need their cross-pollination. Why? Because when I get close to them and they get close to me, we start feeding off each other. We start building each other up, and you become planted in the house of God. Watch what happens in your life. You will see fruit, my friend. Fruit that you can never have by yourself. That's why we have a local church. It's why we exist, not for us, but we exist to show the world that, man, we love each other. We're for each other. Jesus said that they'll know that you're of me by the way you love one another. Let's just be the church. Just be planted in the house of God. And finally, the Word of God preaches. The Word of God preaches. We see, what do you tell Joshua? Be strong and courageous. He said that 3 times. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong and courageous. Don't forget, be strong. And I could just imagine Joshua later on going to the walls of Jericho. He's like, oh man, this is crazy. The Lord said to send the worshipers out front. So all the big buff guys and scary guys, let's send them in the back. And let's send all the worship leaders with skinny jeans and cool shirts and hair. Let's send them out front with the guitars. I love you, Richard. I love you, Adam. But I want like Seth and my safety team guys out front. I want the safety team out front with all like the beards and the goatees. I want those guys. But no, he said, send the worshipers. So we're going to send, get the trumpets, get them out there. Come on. They're going, why? I don't know. And Joshua, he's never done this before. So he's like, oh man, what do we do? But I remember God said, he starts preaching himself. God said, be strong, Joshua. I'm going to be strong today. God said, be courageous. All right, I'm going to be courageous. God said, just keep trusting me. I'm going to keep trusting you, God. And he walked around those walls 7 times. And on the 6th time, nothing happened. And Joshua's going, I don't know what to do. But God said, he says, do not let these words depart from your mouth. The law, the whole law, which Moses commanded you, you need to know it. So he says, okay, God, I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to keep going. And on the 7th time, those walls of Jericho came tumbling down, church. I got a word for someone here today. When you begin to get the word of God in you, it'll produce something through you that will begin to tear walls around you. What was Jesus says? You need the word of God, the logos, the graphe, the rhema in your life, and it can't happen unless you spend time with God this week. What if this week, remember Jesus' last words on the cross? Before he gave his spirit, he says, it is finished. The enemy is finished. Oh yeah, he still wants to take you out. He still wants to fight you, but he's like a dog, a mean dog with no teeth. He just wants to gnaw on you a little bit. And he looks scary. And he sounds, his bark is scary too, man. But the enemy comes at you and he has nothing to throw at you. That it's been finished. What if this week that sin, that thing that you've been holding on to, that thing that you're like, man, I hope nobody asks me about that. I hope no one finds out about this. What if this week you were to look at that and say, you know what? The word of God says you're finished. The word of God says, I don't have to wonder about whether God loves me or not, that he'll never leave me or forsake me. And that if I read this correctly, Satan, you're done. You're finished. Remember Mortal Kombat? I mean, Mortal Kombat people.
Finish him.
If you were like, if you're not a 90s kid, here's what it was. You would get in this fight. It was like a Sub-Zero kind of thing. And there were some people you fight, some Raiden. And then you would get to this point. At the end of the fight, if you were winning, the other person would just kind of wobble around. And then you'd hear this thing.
Finish him.
And then you would do like this awesome fatality.
Flawless victory.
Preaching Mortal Kombat here. What am I saying? It's finished. You got that thing up against the ropes. You're like, I don't know if I can make it to church today, but I hope I can make it. And you know what? I hope God's got something for me. Guess what? God's got something for you. That thing, it's finished. You got it up against the rope. Now finish him. Take out the sword. It's the only thing in your belt, in your entire armor. It's the only thing designed to be offensive. You need to take that thing out and wield it and begin to go after those things in your life that have been robbing you of peace and say, you know what? No more. It's finished. And take out the enemy once and for all. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, right now, I just feel your spirit moving in this room. And as silly as that illustration is about it, it is finished. Mortal Kombat, God, you have conquered death, hell, and the grave so that we wouldn't have to, so that we could walk on your victory. We could say we lift up the name of Jesus, and it's his power and it's his strength that we call on, not our own power, but yours, God. So right now, help us, Lord, to pull out the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And Lord, I could just imagine in this room right now the kind of peace that you want to give to so many people as they cut down those things that have been robbing them of joy, that addiction, that relationship that's going nowhere, those parts of their life that they're hiding and concealing. Would you give us the power right now through your Spirit to cut that thing down, Lord, and to say, no more, it's done. Today is my day where I cut that out of my life once and for all. And I'm not doing it on my own strength. I'm doing it with the strength that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit and the power that comes from the Almighty Creator of the universe, God in heaven, who's empowered me by his Son, Jesus, to take authority over anything that's not from him. If you're here today and you want to fight, you want to be a part of God's army, the first thing you need to do if you want to fight, with eyes closed, heads bowed, you need to enroll, enlist in the army of God. That's what you need to do right now. And the way you do that is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says if you confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart that he died and rose again, you will be saved. Saved from your past, saved for a future that God has for you in heaven, but also saved so you can make a difference in your life today. If that's you and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior in a moment, I'm going to ask you to pop your hand up and you can settle eternity right now through faith. So if that's you and you want to receive Christ today, today's your day to receive Jesus, to put your faith in him, I'm going to give you that chance right now. On the count of three, just pop your hand up. One, say, that's me, Pastor. I want this. I know I need forgiveness. Two, on the count of three, just simply pop your hand up. One, two, three, raise your hand right now. Say, that's me, Jesus. Amen. God sees your hand. Amen. 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 Anybody else, just raise your hand. Say, that's me, Pastor. I need this right now. Include me in that prayer right now. Make it official. Today's your day. Amen. God sees your hand. Everyone pray with me. Nobody prays alone. Let's pray us together. Father God, thank you for saving me. Today, I surrender my life to you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.